Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Last week I mentioned that I will talk about decision making in sharks. What it means is exactly what it says. Sharks are making decisions. Animals of all kinds make decisions, which is mainly connected to their improved evolutionary fitness, like looking for food, mates, withdrawal areas and such. But what's not known, however, is how they make these decisions. I first introduced decision-making sharks when we wrote a paper on shark bites in the Gulf of Mexico. And so here, I like to use decision-making revolving around bites. You might remember that I always say that several parameters have to come together before an incident can occur. Yes? Okay. Well, even when these parameters come together and it could be assumed that the threshold for an exploratory bite is now lowered to the point that a shark could bite, it still comes down to decision making. Should the shark keep approaching and apply a test bite or abort the approach and swim off? Considering the low number of yearly bites, which lay somewhere around 80 to 100 incidents, indicates that to abort a potential approach, bite approach that is the norm and not the exception. And here it gets tricky. What happens in the mind of a shark when it has to make this decision? Is the animal able to make an actual decision? Or is it more that it is drawn to one or the other possibility, like what feels more natural? It's not easy to be answered. On one side, anything new creates caution, and so we could assume that the less intimidating the situation, the more likely a bite would occur. This then raises the question, however, of what would be intimidating. On one side, it could be the environment. Well, maybe the environment is unusual for a shark. A high sea species swims into shore areas and realizes there are less escape routes because of the shallowness. Or is it more likely that the person the shark encounter scares it off? Because even so, that the escape routes are reduced there. My assumption goes in that direction, that the person is what scares off the shark, the unfamiliar object, which actually would make sense. Unusual, unfamiliar objects are treated with caution, even more so because shorelines were there way before sharks appeared. So sharks actually evolved into the shoreline, so they are pretty much used to what is a shoreline. And currently, there's still the idea that sharks actually evolved not in high sea, but in shore areas, which of course makes sense when you consider food and such. But humans are still new to them. Intriguing for sure, but new nevertheless. So I'm positive that humans will be bitten more often away from shore areas if we would have the same number of people in offshore and in shore areas, then I think the tendency would be to deeper water. Of course, that doesn't happen because there are less sharks out there, less humans out there, and so on. So I think to abort an encounter comes down to the level of uneasiness a shark can and wants to deal with. Granted, I give the shark here a mind where they can weigh between different outcomes, but, and that is important, I do not say they make a decision for the moments to come, like things in the future, as with situations, let's say, if I do this or that, I can reproduce next year. That, I'm sure, is not happening in their minds, nor has their brain this capacity. But what I'm saying is that they value a situation based on the potential danger it poses. Now, isn't that the same? No, it's not. While deciding which situation is more or less dangerous is in the here and now, being able to project what that means in the near future is a complete different pair of shoes. So decision-making, at least for sharks, seems to be guided by the level of safety or danger. So it is up to you now which approach you would prefer. Environment, humans, uneasiness, or actually decision-making. This is better than the other thing. So, could we actually test decision-making? Yes, of course, we could. Something One very simple would be creating a particular scenario of offering food in different level with different levels of dangerousness. So on the one side, there's absolutely no threat, and on the other hand is a maximum threat. The most likely outcome would be that the majority of sharks would dare to go to a certain level of threat, with fewer and fewer going further. So would the ones going further have an advantage over the rest? Yes. They could, but they could also get a step too far and get killed. Very often you see two animals, one dares, the other one doesn't, and the one who dares is rewarded by, for example, find a new food source. And that's the reason, one of the reasons why when you deal with oceanic white tips, for example, they have a very low threshold to approach you. Reason being is simple. If two of these oceanics have a similar threshold to approach and assume we will be eatable, well, the one who dares would win, hence he has an advantage. But what the majority of these sharks do is, of course, they choose the safe way, while only a small bunch goes beyond and will get something extra again, should they be lucky. If not, they would have gambled too high. So when it comes to terminate or continuing an approach, like towards humans, the majority will make the decision to back off, and that's what we normally see. That's why sharks in our vicinity normally back off, swim away, or we don't even see them. And even more sharks will decide the same way. The closer a person is towards the beach, or generally shallow waters, the more sharks will back off. Here, in addition to the uneasiness with humans, the shallowness actually, well, keeps increasing the potential risk the shark feels that it is in. Of course, such is then also affected by the habitat a shark normally lives in. Of course, if a bull shark is really used to shallow water, so it's only the potential threat of a person that would intimidate the shark. But if you say a blue shark is actually coming into shore area, then it's not just the person who affects his decision making, but of course the shallowness is very unusual for the animal, and that is not something that a shark can relax in. So when a shark has to make a decision, it does not just come down to the unfamiliar object in front of it, but also again where this unfamiliar object is encountered. So the basic situation to pursue an encounter happens then when a shark is not scared off by the unfamiliar object, the person, and the environment. Could a bite then occur? Theoretically, yes. But it still needs some determination to leave the comfort zone. This is where the shark checks the person as is in the interzone and then enter the hot zone, which is stepping beyond the threshold of the inner circle. And should suddenly another unfamiliar factor come into place, the likelihood to abort is enhanced again. So even if shark looks at the person, decides, well, I try to get closer, oversteps the threshold of the inner circle, if then something changes that would, quote unquote, scare the shark again, well, it would be done, it would be it. Such could be, for example, eye contact between the two. So a shark that is trying to get closer makes a decision to approach, and all of a sudden you stare at the shark, that could be enough. So it could happen that the shark who tries to get closer, even shows any hints to perform a test bite, the eye contact likely would terminate that intention. So I hope you start to see what decision making is and how it's guided by more than just one factor, each with a different weight. Even if some luring parameters are involved, like a chum trail that may be crossed by a swimmer, he splashed in a certain way, and on, it may not be enough for a shark to relax enough to the point that it would pursue, but abort means it swims off. Okay, I hope you have now some idea at least. I hope it was not too confusing. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.